$1,000 for a battery powered clock.
Drag it on for 45 seconds.
Okay, good evening. Welcome to the Cabazon Water District Finance and Audit Committee meeting for February 18th, 2025. It's 5 o'clock. Let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, for liberty and justice for all.
Roll call. Director Melissa Carlin.
Here.
Board Chair Terry Tinkler.
Here.
General Manager Michael Paul.
Here.
Okay. So under the financials tab in your board packet, on the first page is the balance sheet. We're going to go over the financials as of January 31st, 2025, so we're a little over halfway through the fiscal year, which starts July 1st, 2024. So up first under assets on line 5, we have the total cash and investments, which is our combined cash with Chase Bank and our local agency investment fund and California class fund. So all of our money, basically, that total balance was at $2,334,564 at month end. And then all the way down on line 35, our total liabilities was at $803,130 at month end. Any questions on this page?
No.
Okay, moving on to the budget to actual, or profit and loss. So the year-to-date, again, it's a little over halfway. It's at 58% of the year. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to point out a couple items that are either way over or way under the 58% and explain why they're that way. And then just to explain how this financial sheet works for you, Gil, because I know you've never done this before. On the far left, it says the description of what accounting category it is. On column A, that's what we've spent in that.
Is it on the right page?
Sorry, it's page 6 of 23.
Oh, okay.
Financials,
the
blue two.
And
the one after that.
And
I'll flip it over one more, right there.
All right,
it's
6 of 23.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
The left one. So on the far left is a little description of what account or what expense category this is. On column A, that's what we've spent in January 2025. On column B, that's what we've spent for the fiscal year to date, so since July 1st, 2024 until now. And then column C is the budget. And then column D is the percentage of what we've spent the year to date compared to the actual what we budgeted for. Again, I'm just going to call out a few of them, but if you have any other questions about some that I'm not pointing out, just let me know. So on line 7, we have basic facility fees. This is for new services and meter installations and upgrades. We budgeted pretty low just because it's unpredictable how many meters we're going to have installed throughout the year. Right now we're at 115%, which is really good, and we have several other people who have paid for the fire flow, which is the step right before paying for a new service. So that will probably just go up from here. Line 8, standby fees. This is the fee that gets assessed to every parcel in the district. We receive the bulk of these payments in January and May. So we did receive a bunch of payments for that in January, so now we're at 65%. And then on line 11, property taxes, the same thing. We received the bulk of these payments in January and May, so right now we're at 57%, so almost right on track. And then line 18, total revenues, so all of those above lines combined, we're at 76% of the year. So right now we're a little bit over, or actually a good amount over what we budgeted for. Now on to expenses. On line 26, we have total payroll, which is at 60%, so a little bit over budget, which is probably because of the two employees that left at the end of the year. They had their vacation cash out, so that's probably why it's a little bit over. And down to line 32, we have the line repair and maintenance materials, which is only at 31%. That one's kind of hard to budget for, just because it's unpredictable how much materials we're going to need throughout the year. On line 43, we have dues and subscriptions, which is only at 19%. A lot of the renewal fees that we have for different memberships and subscriptions are due in April. So we'll probably see that go up a little bit in a couple of months. And any questions on this first page? No, I'm going to move on to the next one. Moving on. Line 54, and this is page 7 of 23 of the board packet. On line 54, we have the payroll / bank service charge, which is at 72%. That's because we had extra fees for our payroll processing service for W-2s, which was at the end of, or the beginning of this year. On line 59, we have other fees / state water resources control board. This account includes annual LAFCO fees, state water resource control board fees, and other various county fees. Right now it's over budget at 94% due to the timing of fees, but the only ones remaining for this fiscal year, I believe, is $200 more, so we should still end under budget for that category. On line 66, we have equipment rental, which is only at 0%. The only equipment that we've needed to rent has been for capital improvement projects, which is on the last page. But for the most part, we haven't needed to rent any equipment.
We may have to rent a little lift because our rope broke and the flag flew away. So to get up to there, we may have to hire a man lift. And it's $350 for 4 hours. That delivers from Sunbelt. Or if the guy's an engineer or something, I used to climb light poles when I was a kid, but I probably shouldn't do it now.
Probably not a good idea.
Anyway, that would be a possibility of...
I don't know if you know this, but you're not a kid.
Well, I know. Here I am.
We'll all piggyback on top of each other. No. We used to need to rent a lot of equipment or rent traffic control, but we don't need to do that anymore because we have full staff and enough signs. So far we've spent nothing in that category. On line 73, we have miscellaneous, which is at 102%. This is just for random expenses. What this was for the retirement party for Ellen and then Christmas gifts for the community center. So that's why it's a little over budget. We budget really low because there's not usually anything that ends up going in there. And then total expenses on line 75 is at 55%. So we're over for revenue and under for expenses. And then on line 79, total net income / loss. Right now we are at a net income of $360,207. Pretty good. Okay, the last page is capital detail. So these are like the big improvement projects for the district. And the first 12 lines are for reserve funded. So those are the ones that we pay for with our money. And then everything below that is grant or debt funded. The only thing we had in the activity for this month was line 11, the well 5 emergency repair. Does that look like it's still going to stay under budget? I think it does.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. I can talk a little bit about that after.
Right now we're at 87% for that. I think there was a couple smaller bills that just came in recently, pretty sure, but Mike will talk more about that after. And then For the grant and debt funded, there hasn't been a lot of action in those, but the one thing I wanted to point out is the isolation valve project, which is in the box way down below, which was completed in 2023, but we were just waiting on the retention payment of $107,000 for that. Banning did receive the money. They're working on getting us our portion of the check, but they had some staff rearrangements, I guess we'll say. So right now they don't have any check signers to sign for the check. So once they get that all figured out, they'll have us come pick up the check. And then same thing for two of the quarters for the Esperanza Waterline Improvements Project. Banning has the money, but they just need someone to sign the check so that we can go pick it up. So that's all I got.
They're holding $500,000?
Yeah. I'm like, wait, is that right? Actually, I'm not sure.
I think $250,000.
I think
it's two checks for $23,000 and then the $107,000.
Yeah, I don't think they have the $300,000 one yet.
Oh, they don't?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But they have the...
But yeah, it would be.
The other one. A good chunk of money.
Interest. Guess that'd be kind of wrong, huh?
Right.
No, we're so close, though, to getting the money.
It's been almost 2 years.
Yeah. All right, that's all I got. Mike, any comments?
She mentioned the current charges for the Will 5 repair. It's not going to exceed 156. So when they did do the brushing and baling, that portion wasn't aggressive enough. So then that's when we signed the procedures for the arc wave. Now the arc wave was new technology. So it's like dropping a spark plug down in there, and when it energizes, when it reaches 100%, it fires off and it creates a concussion. So basically it did do its job. It cleaned out the perforations, and it raised the static water level a little bit, and we put new another 40 feet of column pipe in there, so we'd have better coverage when the bolt assembly was underwater. But because we had a 200 horsepower motor that was pulling from a lower depth, it was blowing the fuses. So they miscalculated the pump size. So at their cost, they're going to install a soft starter, which is $15,000, and then rebuild a 250 horsepower motor to put on there. So basically you have to rewire it, and then bake and dip it. It's a long procedure. I mean, I could read you the whole procedure. Basically, when you rebuild, you want to make sure that you're putting something that's going to be reliable. So the soft starter gradually increases the voltage supply to the motor, accelerating it to its full operating speed. This controlled start minimizes mechanical stress on the motor and the connected equipment, reduces energy consumption during startup, and improves the overall lifespan. And then, of course, when you rebuild the motor, you're going to rewind it. All the new windings, add insulation for the starter, and then you're going to bake and dip. What that means is you're going to preheat the windings to remove any moisture, dipping the stator in a varnish to coat the wires and improve insulation. And then the baking is to cure the varnish by baking the stator in an oven, which solidifies the insulation and provides protection against environmental factors. So it's just a traditional thing. I have YouTube videos. If you guys are interested, I could show you the procedures on all that. So it's just rewiring. You know, you got to tear all the old wiring out, put new wiring in with new insulations. You brush everything so it's all shiny, new on everything. And then there's a technique where you put the new wirings in there. And then, of course, you'll bake it and dip it. So it's at their cost.
What's the warranty on it once they do all that?
We'll find out when they get it back to us. Yeah. So the whole project only costs us $156,000, and they're having to eat the cost of $15,000 plus the rebuilding of the motor. And the other thing, too, is when they do that, so we usually have our wells tested for efficiency for free by Edison every 2 years. So this year, well 2, well 1, and well 5 are going to be tested. Or if we're going to test well 5, after it's installed and running for a little bit of time. So because you need to be in the overall plant efficiency of 70%, well 2 is over 70%, well 1 was just recently rebuilt, that's over 70%, but well 5 was like 67%. So when we put this new technology in there with a 250 horsepower motor, it's going to easily produce the water from a lower depth. You increase the efficiency, and going from 63% to 71%, the overall efficiency will save almost $3,000 annually on Edison. So,
money, cool.
Money well spent. So, they made a mistake. They're eating the cost, and we're gonna benefit by getting lower Edison bills for that location. And new equipment, so updated equipment.
Awesome. All right, are we...
So that's pretty much it, much well thought.
All done?
Well, you're done?
Is it for me?
All right, any public comment?
Well, yeah, I'm sure are we still on?
Let's adjourn to check signing.
All right, 5:15, adjourning.